Okay. Today is the 29th of June, and we have a quorum calling together the Community Services Committee, and we have Legislator Myers and Legislator Burton present. And Mr. Beefus, why don't you have a seat at the end of the table? The Deputy Commissioner for DSS is with us. The first item we have is referrals for discussion, Medicaid eligibility determination. This is an agreement with County Healthcare Corporation for...
That's not for Donovan.
Okay. So we'll deal with that afterwards. One of the reasons we asked you to come, or the main reason we asked you to come today, was to talk about the numbers. Some months ago, when we met with Kevin Mann, he talked about the daycare cuts and what the numbers would look like. And he said that he would have a better picture of how many people would be on the waiting list and all of that by this time, or actually by the end of May. So that's one of the things we'd like to hear about today.
Okay. Well, good afternoon. Thank you, Madam Chair, and rest of the committee legislators. Unfortunately, Commissioner Mann is out of town, so couldn't be here, but I'm glad to be here. I thought what I'd do is just give you a little bit of a brief introduction to some of the issues we're facing and what's happening with caseloads generally, because I think this the overall picture of what's happening in social services is as critical to the daycare issue as anything else. As you all know, we are facing growing demands for services. Our public assistance caseloads are up 1,300 cases to over 7,000, which is a 22% increase since December 07. So that's a growing caseload that we've been talking to you about. Food stamps, as we've talked about, has continued to grow 2 to 3% a month. We had a huge month last month, grew 5% to 30,000 cases. Medicaid continues to be at high levels and growing more quickly than it historically had. Fortunately, there is some good news. Child welfare, we have seen, and as you saw in our savings plan, we did see some decline in foster care caseload, which has helped with foster care savings. Our preventive services caseload is down, but we continue to be at all-time highs for monthly child protective service reports.
Say that again, all-time highs for the reports?
Right, for CPS reports. So those remain high, have been high, and continue to be high. So, of course, that continues to be a concern.
And what did you say, if I may, through the chair?
Sure.
What did you say after the foster care savings, which we knew about? That was the $3 million savings,
right?
Okay. But what was the next thing you said?
Oh, preventive services caseloads, which had been climbing as well, those have kind of leveled off. And so,
what's the difference between... Okay, so CPS reports are at an all-time high.
That's correct. That's right.
But your protective services...
Our preventive services caseloads.
Oh, preventive services.
Exactly. And foster care, we've seen some declines. So that continues to be an area that we look for savings.
Is there a dollar figure to associate with the preventive services?
No, it's mostly staffing, so it's caseload.
Just caseload.
Right.
But meanwhile, they're working on these CPS reports.
Correct, exactly.
Got it.
Now, the other thing that continues to be a challenge and concerning that I'm sure you all are following are declining revenues. The FMAP stimulus, which we've been talking about, is $33 million in our budget this year. We'd all been looking and hoping for a six-month extension, but you see that six-month extension has been in trouble recently with the Senate. The House had taken it out of their bill to get their jobs bill passed, and the Senate has been unable to break through a filibuster to get that bill through. So could significantly impact us going into 2011. And we're also continuing to watch the state revenue situation. We know that there could be anywhere from $3 to $5 million impact on us. The most recent discussed impact has been a reduction from 63.7% reimbursement on preventive protective services to 62%. So we've seen this in previous years where the state will whittle down their reimbursement percentages, and that's the latest in the most recent extender, budget extender at the state level. So we see impact from that, but we expect impact in other programs as well.
Can we just go back on one?
Sure, go ahead.
I'm sorry, I'm just slow. Go back to New York State. What was the 3 to 5%?
3 to 5 million.
Three to five million.
You know, we really have been looking
impact.
At one point, one of the scenarios was as high as $5 million impact. Now, fortunately.
And this is projected for what could come out of the state budget if they ever pass.
Correct. And that's why, of course, you know, now that they budgeted the FPAC stimulus going into 2011. So that's why we continue to be concerned and watch that closely, because we're concerned that those cuts will get pushed down to the local level. So that just gives you the context for the daycare, and it also, you know, emphasizes why our response and our savings plan was so important. Our department faces I think Commissioner Mann mentioned this last time, going into next year, we really can face anywhere from a $40 to $50 million deficit because of that loss of FMAP revenue that we talked about. The increase we have to pay in a cap for Medicaid every year, which is now 3%, that translates next year into $6.3 million. Plus any anticipate, as you see, we're growing in caseload, plus some caseload growth adds. So next year is a tremendous challenge for the department, and that's a big part, obviously a significant part of the budget deficit that the county executive has been discussing and projecting. So that was why we felt it was important to look at the daycare fees, because we have very little, as the commissioner shared with you previously, very little in our budget is discretionary. And daycare is one of those items that, not all of it, but there is a significant portion of daycare that is discretionary. So I think you wanted to hear a little bit about the status of daycare.
Yes.
There were three areas that we had reductions in savings. The scholarship program, of course, there was funding through May of this year for the scholarship program, but at that point that funding was no longer available and there were savings. Then there were two other areas where we recognized or identified about $1 million in savings. The first being was effective in April. That was the $500,000 savings for freezing Title 20. And again, the concept behind this was not to throw anybody off of Title 20 child care, and certainly not to disallow anybody that was transitioning from low income or public assistance onto that level of care. But any new cases that came in, we would deny. After April 1st. Since that date, we've denied 68 cases that would have been eligible. That's where we sit. I think that was some of the numbers.
Is each case an individual youngster or just a family?
It's a family, but you know, right now the ratio is pretty low, so it's probably 70-some kids in that ballpark. So that's kind of where we sit there. And then, of course, the other item that there's been a lot of discussion about, too, is the parent share increase, which went into effect June 1st from 15 to 20%. Just to be clear on that, the parent share, there's some confusion on that. Parent share, the percentage is a complex formula from the state. It's not a percentage of the actual cost of the care. It's a percentage of the cases of a family's income over the federal poverty level for their household size. So I just wanted to be clear on that. That's obviously a different figure than their actual percentage of the cost of the care.
Mr. Burton.
But the original copay was 10%. The current copay is 20%. So leaving aside how the formula arrives at the number, it has been in effect a doubling of the dollar amount of copay that's involved, if assuming that the income is held steady.
Right. We actually incrementally went up to 15%.
Right. But I'm saying from the 10 to the 20 represents a doubling in the percentage. It also represents a doubling in the dollar amount to be paid.
Yeah. And that was from January to June 1st, right?
June 1st is when that went into effect, the 20%.
That's a good family's plan.
And actually, when we did an average of the full-time, we took a look at the full-time state-regulated, OCFS-regulated care. Actually, the average for a family paying the average cost of their parent share was really more in the range of $135. I mean, we hear a lot about the going from 200 and something to 300 and something to $76 increase, but that's for someone that's at a higher income level. Most people in the low income to mid-low income range are really paying in that $135 parent share range. So
it went from what to what for those people in the lower income level?
Well, for example, if someone was at 150%, well, for a family of three, for example, earning $27,000 a year, their parent share went from $114 to $153, so an increase of $39 a month. That compared, again, the figure you hear from $76 a month would be for a family earning $36,000 a year. So that's, I wanted to just lend a little perspective to that as well.
That's still significant because if annual income is that low, a difference of $35 or $40 a month is very significant for families earning $27,000 a year.
And that is also a flat fee for regardless of the number of children they have enrolled in care. And we did. Obviously, we wanted to point out that there were, 48 counties have been at 20% or higher, and 18 are, including our neighboring New York City, is at 35%. So certainly, we've been fortunate to be able to have those lower parent shares and have worked hard to bring them down. But it's certainly, under the circumstances and under the fiscal constraints we're at, we felt like that was, that it was no longer feasible. So.
Okay. What you're saying is now that there are 68 families that have been denied scholarship monies. Is that right?
This is Title 20.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. So how many families do you have a listing, or do you know how many families applied for scholarship programs that have been denied since the end of May?
Scholarship program?
I don't think anybody applied.
Yeah. I'm sorry, I wouldn't have those. The Child Care Council administers that program, so that...
And they put a pretty big sign up saying, gone, don't apply. Mm-hmm. No need to apply.
So we don't have any statistics on that, no numbers at all.
Right.
However, on that same topic, you said we have 7,000 caseloads on in public assistance. We have 7,000 caseloads, right?
A caseload of 7,000, correct.
And that's up 22% since 07.
Mm-hmm.
Do we know what the increase was? And can you break it out by year? 09 and 10 so far?
We can. I don't have that.
Can you get that to us? I think we're going to start seeing. My fear, and the reason we even started all of this, I mean, you were there from the beginning, and you were obviously a big, supporter, but you did, right, I have to say, you were always the one who said, be careful of the cliff effect, which
right.
I guess we're seeing.
Right.
Meaning helping families and then having to pull the help. But my biggest fear, frankly, is that we're going to start seeing these numbers just shift from what was actually less money being put into childcare from our end into increased numbers for public assistance, because obviously you can't work if you can't have your kids taken care of, and that's more expensive. So that's where the big issue comes up of, are we really just, in essence, robbing Peter to pay Paul? Are we cutting off our nose to spite our face? Might be the better.
Well, we do have some data that would shed some light. And first of all, it isn't necessarily more expensive depending on the type of assistance that the individual is on. There are many, different levels of assistance. But We did take a look at those 68 cases, and 70% of those 68 cases had never been on assistance, and only 6% in the last 3 years. So we do know that there is some impact on that, but it's certainly not person for person, and we do know from some experience with the scholarship that individuals had, as you know, Legislator Myers, individuals had been finding ways and resources to access care without necessarily obtaining subsidies or requiring
So this is true. It's just the quality of care. But I would really love to see something other than just to a percentage.
09 and in 2003.
Even 07, 08, 09 and current.
Sure.
You know. Same thing with food stamps. I think it just would give us a better snapshot of our own economy here. I'd love to know the correlation between that too and caseloads for CPS.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing. As far as your case, you're saying the caseloads and CPS are increasing. I guess we can shift a little bit now to your manpower. Can you give us any information about what's going to happen, say, starting from August 1st, for instance? I know there are a number of people that are taking the county buyout and the state retirement plan. What is the department going to look like?
Well, absolutely. You know, our commitment obviously is to the point of service. So we have been working diligently, internally, and working with the within the department to make sure we have contingency plans and that we are able to provide the essential services we need to provide. So certainly that will continue as this process progresses. And you know, as you know, part of the challenge has been the shifting terrain and figuring out who was leaving with which package and when. But I think that's as that's evolving, we're certainly working very hard internally and particularly focused on the point of service and that, you know, whether it's reductions or necessary savings or any kind of reorganization and adjustments in our staffing, we really take first and foremost that there's no risk to the safety of children and families, that we continue to meet our mandates, and that we continue to provide high level of customer service. So those are our values, our base values that we look at whenever we're looking at this. So we'll continue to do that. But it's certainly going to be a challenging time, and we'll meet that challenge. So.
I remember Commissioner Mann. No, wrong commissioner. I remember Commissioner Lipsman saying at this table last year, I guess, or, you know, when we were starting to study the budget for 2010, he said, what is mandated is that we provide a service. What's not mandated is how well we provide that service. Do you think that applies? I mean, we clearly, most of DSS is mandated.
Correct.
I mean, if we are going to, with these loss in personnel, with these cuts to even discretionary items like the excess title, the new Title 20 and the daycare scholarships, can we continue to provide the same service, the same quality of service?
Yes, I think what we're striving to do is work at a couple different levels internally to do that, but also externally with our community partners, because we have a large number of contractors, and we're bringing our contractors together in July to do that very same thing, to say, listen, these are difficult times. We have a lot of mandated services we have to provide, and we provide some discretionary services that support important mandated services. But these times are going to require all of us to work together to find efficiencies to continue to provide the same level of service for less.
But the contracted agencies have also taken a hit. I mean, they've been asked to take, was it 5%? 10% across the board?
Sure.
Less. So they're having trouble.
Right. And part of what we're bringing them in to do is to look at what strategies have they used to identify those savings. Are there ones that have worked better than others that they can share with other vendors? We're also going to encourage them to look at different ways. I think you probably, Legislator Myers, are familiar with this from the ETC daycare study.
Yeah.
Are there different ways they perhaps could work together, to try and find some efficiencies in providing these services that would cost less but still mm-hmm. provide the same mm-hmm. level? So I think those are the kinds of things that we're going to be really pushing for and expecting, really, frankly, out of them, because we know what we face going
yep.
into next year. And I think they realize it as well. So I think it's an opportunity for them to look at it with us.
When in July?
The 19th we're bringing in.
That's great. And this is all current contractors or?
Well, it's basically our vendors that primarily it's the non-rate-based vendors. So it's the vendors that have line item budgets that can have control over their budgets in essence and can establish and can make changes in those rates that are set by the state or those kinds
right.
of things. You're not
right.
going to be so focused.
Got it. That's terrific.
I have a question about the eviction prevention services. Mm-hmm. Are they going to continue at the same level of involvement as before?
Well, that's a question we'll have to get back to you on this. So I know we've been working on the eviction prevention, and I'll have to get to our experts in the office, and I know that's an area that we're recently had done an RFP mm-hmm. and had been making looking to make the award. So I think that's we'll have to get back to you on that. I just think.
In the old hee-haw mode. Okay. No despair and misery.
Mm. No, it's just, I mean, it doesn't come as any surprise. It just seems, seem to be that we're sort of trying to balance, like it or not, we are balancing the budget or looking at next year's budget and doing it
On the backs of
the people who can least afford it. You know, yes, DSS is our biggest slice of the pie, and it's where we have the most mandates. It's just unfathomable. I cannot believe there isn't another place that some other area that can step up to the plate and say, maybe this isn't as necessary as... DSS is so necessary. And I think doing well by DSS is so necessary. That's the sick thing. It's, yeah, okay, we can just meet the mandates, but maybe we'll meet them poorly.
Mm-hmm. Well,
great.
That's going to be, actually, that seems to me to be the really difficult part, because if we accept the fact that the mandates state certain levels of, well, they don't state, they state minimum levels of service. Mm-hmm. We have clearly exceeded that in many areas. And the analysis has to be, let's start from the base and work our way up. Or not. And see what the spread is.
Or not. Mm-hmm.
And that's... Do we have any... Has the committee been provided with any indication of the... Service impact isn't the right word, but I guess the dollar spread between the minimum mandated and the current level of service in each of the programs?
That would be interesting.
Is that something that you could provide us with any ease?
Well, I mean, we've certainly provided information on discretionary services in our budget, but I'd have to take a look at and see if there's any additional. But we have provided that information to the board in different capacities. So.
Would Olivia know how to pull that information out?
It's actually in the budget.
It is. That's what I thought.
Right.
So we would need to ask her to look at...
Right.
So the mandated cost versus what we currently provide.
The discretionary.
And that's obviously driven by caseload. If we have 100 claimants versus 1,000, it's not going to scale at a 1 to 10 ratio because of the higher levels of service that might be required by only certain people.
Yeah.
So But if we took the baseline, everybody's in there for at least the minimum, and then see what the difference is.
And where the biggest...
And where it is, yeah. And then we'd also, I mean, we'd have to factor in a criticality to it. I mean, it's... I really don't like even thinking about this, but do we put children first or do we put women first? I mean, it's, you know, it's the old lifeboat thing. I just... But anyway, it would at least be nice to know. And frankly, I'm assuming that this is how they're going to construct the budget anyway.
I would hope so. We have some people here from some of the other agencies. Does anyone want to ask a question?
I just wanted clarification.
Sure. You want to identify yourself for the record?
Sure. My name is Beth White. I'm with Voice CSEA, for child care providers. And I was reading some literature around 1.5 million in cuts.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a shortfall or is that an actual cut?
You mean regarding the child care?
Yes.
Well, it's a couple of things. It's eliminating payment of scholarships in 2010, so that's the 500,000 on that piece.
Okay.
500,000 is freezing Title 20, any new Title 20 cases. So it's actually savings by freezing those cases. And it's not, again, it's not cuts in that we're not cutting people off the caseload. We're just freezing it and therefore saving.
Okay.
And then the third piece is the increased parent share, which is savings, again, because parents are paying more, we're paying less of the child care, even though we pay the great percentage of it. That's
and Title 20, it's federal money. I don't know Westchester too much, and I'm sorry.
That's
I
right.
apologize for my ignorance. But with federal money, was Westchester always, I believe, I understood, you actually put money into child care?
Oh,
yeah.
Absolutely. In fact, the Title 20 is all, because we exceed our allocation, far exceed it, that's all local share. All the Title 20 is all local tax levy, Title 20 child care. So.
And what's the budget for Title 20?
For Title 20 daycare?
Yeah.
I believe we're right at 3.3 is what, with our reduction. So.
Thank you.
3.3 million still right. being spent.
Mm-hmm.
And how much of that is federal and how much is county?
It's all local.
That's still all local.
Because we've so far exceeded, right.
Got it.
Okay. Anyone else? What I'd like to have happen is after your meeting July 19th with the contracted agencies, perhaps the following week you could come back and give us some of the outcomes, some of the contingency plans you come up with the contracted agencies. And by that time, perhaps maybe you'll have a better idea of what your manpower is going to look like within the department itself.
Absolutely. And I can certainly bring the data to that.
Yes.
Sure. Okay, great. Thank you all.
Are we having fun?
Not yet.
That's what our business is about, though. So
I know.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you
See
for
you,
coming.
John.
We only have this one item for discussion. Medicaid eligibility.
Huh? Where did Bill Burton go?
He had something that he said he had to do.
Nothing
no. So we can't vote.
How time sensitive is this?
I have no idea.
Okay.
Well, it was supposed to be done January 1st, 2010.
Right.
This is to be able to put the people in there for Medicaid?
Yeah.
We did this for White Plains already, I think.
Yeah, I think we did.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Which is an unfunded mandate.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of unfunded mandates. I don't see any. Oh, there's the... Look at the back, Schedule A.
Oh.
This is interesting. So they do collect the data.
They do.
I just had a lunch with Community College, and one of the things they were thrilled about was the fact that they were able to do this whole Gateway Center with very sort of local materials and services. And my ears went up, and I said, how were you able to do that? Based on the conversation we had here. And they said they were not allowed to say Westchester County, or even just New York State. I mean, things came from Connecticut, things came from the big thing came from Italy. They have a glass staircase. This will be the first LEED certified county-owned building in Westchester completely. And this is part of that. This has some kind of a sunshine thing on it. It does.
I'm sorry, what did you say, Melanie?
Ken's going to come down.
Oh.
Oh, okay. Then okay, we can approve that. Oh, he's back.
Oh, sorry.
Ken doesn't need to come. We just need to vote this
we
out
need to
for
vote.
The
oh,
yes.
People, the Medicaid people. To, I mean the.
Oh, I didn't know we were having a vote. I'm sorry. No,
yeah, these are those people that get stationed at the
hospital.
At the hospitals to sign up Medicaid people.
I'm sure you've looked into this very thoroughly, Madam Chair. So move.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye. Okay, Mel. Okay. Burton move. Myers second.
And then we need minutes and receive and files, please.
How did this get signed already?
They signed on the wrong side last time.
Oh, okay. Hey, you guys. This is like energy savings. That was last week's ink.
Okay. So we have a lot of receive and files here.
Okay, veto. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the effects of wood smoke. Mm-hmm. Wow. Okay, I don't even think we have. Do we still have a county office for the disabled?
Mm-hmm.
County office for the disabled?
Yes.
We do. Okay. Cyberbullying. Communication.
Yeah.
So just those three?
No, we have. What is this? Oh,
yeah. All right, I move that we receive and file items numbers 1, 2, and 3.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All right. Yeah. Oh, same.
Okay. All right, so we should stand. Let's stand up.
We need minutes.
Meeting. Oh, yeah, minutes.
I did the minutes. Minutos. Both cases for June 7th, A and B.
Mr. Burton?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Okay.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
When I went to the lunch with the community college, they started out by apologizing to me that there were no calorie counts on the food. And I said, well, hopefully this was handmade and not done in a standardized portion. Yeah, standardized portion. Then they all admitted that they were in shock and awe at the calories that had been posted, that I had never noticed these. Yeah.
Huge.
Really true.
Okay, yeah. So we'll have them back, what, the third week in
hopefully.
July?
Or they may need an extra week to figure out what to do with that information.
The end of July.
Now, we've been told that Commissioner Mann is leaving, right?
Yes and no.
Yes and no.
Yes.
Half of him is leaving?
No. He's leaving, but he's coming back.
He's coming back.
Oh, good. Okay.
Yeah,
so we'll have
provided,
to.
Provided, of course.
Oh, we have to give him the waiver, right?
Yeah.
We wouldn't say that out loud, but that's. That seems to be up.
Somebody's got to go.
Ms. Marcotte will copy this. Ms. Marcotte will copy this.
Oh, yeah.
Duplication.
Yes.
All right. Anyway, move to adjourn.
Okay. Entertain a motion to adjourn.
Second.
So moved.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right.
Now, if anybody's really desperate for fireworks on Friday, we are doing fireworks in Austin.
Okay.
I'll just cut it back.
What, you have to be desperate to come to us?
No, no. Some people...